Blog Talk Radio.
ATL. This is a test show. It has been weeks, months since we have been live on the air talking about Atlanta and Georgia sports. 646-652-4479. If you've forgotten the number, I almost did. And the reason, of this show, we want to try to do a draft show tomorrow night. But I can't do that until I know that people can actually hear the show. So I'm going to go live on the New Pack City page on Facebook. And I'm going to ask a few people to try to join in, see if they can tune into the show, see if they can hear it. And as I wait for that, Around the ATL has been around for about 2 years now, but COVID-19 has definitely put a dent into things. Unfortunately, my work schedule, my personal work schedule, my secular work schedule has been kind of crazy. I manage a couple of stores on the military base and been shorthanded the last few months, and COVID has affected that too. So me being able to produce shows on a regular basis, just haven't been able to do it as of lately. So we're going to try to get back into it. We've missed out on a few things. Of course, the end of the baseball season, the change of the guard with the Atlanta Falcons, Freddie Freeman winning an MVP finally. Of course, the NBA finals have come and gone. So we've missed out on a few things, but we're definitely going to try to make up for it. Let me see if I can see who's online here. Let's see. I forgot the website. Look at that. That is terrible. There we go. All right, so there would be the first test. See if, there we go. I almost said it. Almost looked like the website didn't populate there for a second there. I am supposed to be getting a visit from my co-host as well. He has been busy on top of busy, just like me. And to be able to try to coordinate schedules, of course, is not the easiest thing in the world. We're not in the same city, so that doesn't make it easy as well. So, again, that's why this is going to be a test. So, hopefully, people will be able to hear me. Right now, I'm just waiting on some folks in the New Pack City Facebook group. Y'all go check that page out if you're an Atlanta Hawks fan specifically. It's a great page to join in. You have some great people in that group who really love Hawks basketball. Shout out to the founder, Jamal Price, of the Originative brand. If you want some Atlanta gear, Hawks gear, Braves gear, Falcons gear, gear that's just related to the city of Atlanta, but also sports related. Make sure you go visit his Instagram page. So as we wait to see if I can find out who's online, let me get some music on. That way I can also test to see if things are working. I was just playing Geeked Up earlier, so I guess I'll play that. Let's see, where is that? And here we go. Alright, so it looks like I got one hit that someone can hear me. So let me go into my page personally. Can't see if anybody else can hear. The other thing, we have Falcons in New Orleans, so it's Hate Week. I've already posted on the Atlanta Falcons Facebook page, lucky if you buck, that's right. So hopefully we'll have an exciting weekend in store. We already know Drew Brees is not going to be playing. That doesn't put a damper on it. Injuries happen, oh well. Jameis is about to get killed, so it is what it is. Let's see who else might give me some help. Let me know if they can hear everything going on in the background. Let's see who's online. See, now I gotta go into my messenger and see who's online. Let's see. There we go. See, Jamal's online. Chris is online. He is online. DJ is online. He just said, "What's up?" All right. So I just let DJ know that I'm playing Geeked Up, so I'll see if he can tune in real quick and listen. I'm not going to do any callers except for my co-host. Oh, well, he wants to call in, so I'll give him the number. If you want to talk, I ain't going to tell him not to talk. We'll see if we can. Now, I do have a designated time frame for this test, but I'll give it a little bit of time. Let me see who else is on here, if I know the regular listener. Nita, Tony. Let's try Tony. He's up. Tony, what's up? All right, let's see if he wants to call in too. So let's see if he's called in. Oh, that's the end of the song. I forget it's only 3 minutes and 53 seconds, so it always catches me off guard. I have to watch out for my co-host to call in, because I need to get him in here first before I pick up any callers, but it's probably not going to happen like that. Let's says Hawks aren't moving with any sense of urgency. Well, it is day one. Talking about Atlanta Hawks free agency. Oh, well, I shouldn't say that. Trade capabilities. Free agency is still later in the week. But I guess he's looking at it from the standpoint, you know, other teams are starting to make moves already, and the Hawks are just kind of chilling, waiting to see what happens, which typically would be like the Hawks, but I think this is going to be a little bit different. Plus, we don't have to just go out and just get any old body. All right, let me take off geeked up. So it looks like my co-host is calling in. Let's see if this works. Good evening, sir.
What's going on, sir?
All right, it works. This is excellent. So far, so good. Not much. I'm actually live on the new Pack City page as well. I got DJs on here. I don't know if he's going to call in, but he just said Hawks aren't moving with any sense of urgency. Content with winning 20 games. Changes need to be made. It is day one. I mean,
so far the only moves we've really seen is Chris Paul trading to the Phoenix Suns, which is a very interesting move, pairing in the backcourt with Devin Booker. And the other move we've seen was Dennis Schroeder to the Lakers for Danny Green in the first-round draft pick. I mean, I don't know where the Hawks are supposed to be involved in either one of those moves. Certainly didn't want, you know, any type of flex zone coming back to Atlanta. And, you know, Chris Paul just wasn't the option for us. So I would just say, you know, to be patient. I think you'll definitely see the Hawks make some moves. We have the most cap space in the league. So I think you'll definitely see the Hawks make some moves. But I also think, you know, you got a lot of agents that will be trying to use the Hawks as leverage, or that will be trying to get the Hawks to overpay for their players, since the Hawks do have a lot of cap space. And we got to be smart about this. We got to bring in the right guys to go with this team. And so that's my thoughts on the Hawks not making any moves so far. Glad to be back on the air with you, sir, even though this is just a test show. I was listening to, excuse me, I caught every bit of what you were doing except for maybe the first 3 minutes or so, and everything was sounding good so far with the test that you were doing. So I was listening in before I called in.
So that's good. Now, DJ say he can't hear, but I think that's because he wasn't actually on the link. I think he was actually – that's just because he's on the Facebook Live and he just hears me, of course. He's not going to hear the caller in this case because I got my headphones on in, because I think that might be one of my – I'm going to have to do – that's. I think that's one of my fixes from before. Although, it's been working like that for, like, months without me having to have the earphones in and just using my microphone. But – okay, DJ says he can hear on Blog Talk. So cool. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, cool.
That's why I
did hear you mention we got Hate Week coming up this week. We do have the Saints. We do have Sir King Crableg in at the starting quarterback. So I'll go ahead and give you a test show prediction. You know, if they use Winston like they were using him this week in the second half, where he throws the ball sometimes, but they also use Taysom Hill a lot, I think we'll get two interceptions out of Jameis Winston. If Jameis Winston is allowed to throw the ball 30 times, we're going to get at least three interceptions out of Jameis Winston. So I'm looking very much forward to this week, you know, with no Drew Brees in there. Because, you know, even though Drew is not where he used to be, Drew is still a lot smarter in terms of making bad decisions. In fact, I think Drew is a smarter quarterback now than he was a few years ago, because he knows he can't force the ball in there. Whereas before, Drew, you know, would give you a lot more pick opportunities. So, yeah, I think the Falcons are going to have the opportunity to get some interceptions off of King Crableg. They just got to catch the ball when it comes to them.
That first interception. This is going to be all downhill from there. So, 646-652-4479. I'm just throwing it out there for people who might have gotten the notification from if you were following the Blog Talk page. And you know that we're online right now. Let's see, make sure ain't nobody commenting over there on the New Pack City page. So we got Hate Week for Atlanta Falcons versus the New Orleans Saints. Again, tomorrow night, of course, we're going to see if we can do a draft show. I'm not sure. We might try to do it the night of the draft. I don't know. We'll have to kind of see, because by the time we come on air, probably should have picked by then, and we'll see what kind of moves we have made or not made.
That is on Wednesday night?
This Wednesday.
Yeah, that's going to be rough, that draft night, because there's going to be so much coverage going on. But we definitely got to get on here, you know, if not that night, then maybe if you can be free Thursday or shortly after, because we definitely have to break down this draft. So many interesting possibilities for what the Hawks are going to do, including the Hawks.
Well, I kind of want maybe
in trading for players as well.
Yeah, that's probably why I kind of want to try to do it tomorrow, just in case we throw some predictions that end up becoming true. Can't do that after the fact, of course. So, going to maybe try to do something impromptu tomorrow night. If we can,
right.
Especially depending on what happens
about
tomorrow afternoon.
Afterwards,
so.
Right. So, man,
we'll
so much going on, man. So much going on in Atlanta sports. Saw a report today that the Mets are interested in Marcell Ozuna. And now, you know, I'm going to question the Braves if they allow Ozuna to get away. You can't keep patching things up with one-year deals. Eventually, you know, you got to find the right guy, and you got to lock him up long term. And in my opinion, Ozuna is that right guy. Unlike a lot of the other guys we had in, like Josh Donaldson and some of the guys, Ozuna not only performed in the regular season, he came through in the postseason. And I just think it's a good vibe with that team. I think it's a good vibe between him and Acuna and Albies, you know, the whole mix it up thing. I thought that I would like to see the Braves continue long term. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you now, if the Braves allow Ozuna to walk away, I'm going to be very, very disappointed in that.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have ownership to be able to make decisions like that, and we might just be doomed to never actually see anything like that happen, and we have to just kind of sit and take it. I saw someone on Twitter basically say, you know, the fans – should be more vocal, or like I said, we just need to get our tiki torches and just walk up the Truist, because I think that's the only way they'll get any kind of attention at this point of being not satisfied with going all out to go ahead and get this championship out the way, because we should have been 1-1 by now. We have the talent to do it.
We should have won this year.
We should have won. That's what I'm saying. That's what I was alluding to. You had everything that you ever needed that we've never had before in a decade, and you still squandered it. And yeah, you had injuries. Injuries happened. But we still had enough to take the team that won to 7 games, which means if we had won that 7th game, we probably would have won. So there it is.
No, if we would have won the 6th game.
Oh, by the way, yeah, we were up 3-1, but that's a whole other story.
Right.
We actually got a caller on the test show. So let's see who this is. Let me go ahead and bring him in. Good evening, caller. Go ahead, tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, what's up, man? This is DJ Incog from the Hawks Facebook page.
What's going on, DJ?
Man, what's up
from
with you?
Impact City page. What you want to talk about tonight?
Man, look here, man. I'm gonna be straight out with you. The weeks leading up to the NFL draft, all we were talking about was Falcons, who they gonna draft, doing mock drafts and everything. And when it comes to the Hawks, it's like night and day. Ain't nobody talking about the draft. Ain't nobody doing no mock drafts. They barely get respect on the radio. But when it comes to the Falcons, who we going to draft? Let's do a 3-round mock draft. Man, nobody cares. Look here. The Falcons, they need to lose. Nobody care about no hate week. Nobody care about the Saints. Nobody care about winning them games. They need to just lose so we can get the high draft pick. Now, the Hawks, hear what they need to do. They need to make a trade. Straight out, go all in like the Falcons did Julio Jones. Go all in, trade everything to get, what's his name, Edwards. Who cares? Trade Collins. Nobody cares.
DJ.
Everybody except Trae Young. We need Edwards. We need that impact player. Look here, I saw on the blog, that Facebook page, people getting excited about Joe Harris. Man, who? I know. Hawks have interest in Joe. Man, he's a role player. What did he do for New Jersey? What did he do for New Jersey? Nothing.
Oh, he shot lights out for New Jersey, and if they had Kyrie Irving
what's
McCauley, probably won a championship. But y'all killing me
with this New Jersey, man. It's
come on,
Brooklyn,
man.
Let me say this. He doesn't have to be a superstar. There's a lot of players out there who've never been superstars, but they've won championships for their teams. Remember that. Second of all, when you're talking about Atlanta franchises in the here and now, you're talking about, like, you know, doing a Julio trade everybody type of a deal. One of the things you have to recognize is you're wanting to make the team better. An impact player? We don't know if Edwards is an impact player, just like nobody knew if Trae Young could translate from Oklahoma to the NBA. You see what I'm saying? So those are hodgepodge. Every time a player is drafted, there's a lot of variables that's going to say, is he actually going to make it after 1 year, 2 year, year three? Okay? When you're talking about an impact player, John Collins is an impact player right now. To give him away, to let him walk, to get somebody who you don't know anything about, doesn't help this team at all in the position of, we just rebuilt this team over the last 4 years, and here we are now on the precipice of taking over the Eastern Conference, but you want to break that up, and then you want to break that up for Trae Young, who him and Trae are one of the most dynamic duos in the NBA. Everybody else in the NBA sees that, except most of the Hawks fans, which is very unfortunate. And if you listen to John Collins on the show, you know why as far as that goes. As far as the not caring about the Atlanta Falcons, again, ain't nobody on that Atlanta Falcons team trying to lose a game on purpose for people in college who may or may not work out. You know how many busted players there have ever been in the first round, second round, third round, number one pick, number two pick, number three pick? There ain't no NFL player who's trying to lose a game on purpose for a hopeful draft pick. That's not ever going to happen. You either are a good player or you're a bad player. Same thing for the coaches. You either a bad coach or you're a good coach, but you're not trying to lose on purpose. We do care. We do care about this series. It's a long history of rivalry in between Stinky Town and the ATL. The game matters. And in this particular season, it matters even more because of how we started. This will be a game to where, guess what, 4-6, you never know what can happen. All you got to do is get into the playoffs. You can't win the Super Bowl without being in the playoffs. All these teams that have been proverbial losers, DJ, how many of them have won Super Bowls by losing every year? None of them.
No.
You see what I'm saying? So when you're talking about the not caring part, I have to bring those things up because it does matter. Careers matter. Seasons matter. Because otherwise, all we're doing is watching one game a year, and that is the Super Bowl. And that's a lot of wasted time, a lot of wasted money going to games, buying tickets, buying hats, jerseys, and all that kind of good stuff if it don't matter. Had to say all that, DJ. Thank you, sir.
I heard everything you said, but y'all are disillusioned, really.
No.
The Hawks and John Collins and Trae Young are ready to take over Eastern Conference. Are you out? I'm sorry.
Did you not watch any games last year?
The only people who think that way are in Atlanta.
No, that's not true.
The league sees that.
Jordan, the Atlanta
Hawks are a borderline 8 seed, which I can name.
DJ, let me say something right now. We are a straight borderline
8 seed, and we'll be lucky to get that 8 seed. It's gonna take Clint Capella to play 70 games, which he hasn't. It's gonna take John Collins to play. He got to play 2/3 of the season. He hasn't done that.
We need 70 games out of Collins. I will agree with that. We got to get 70 games out of John Collins.
Just to get an 8 seed. And we got to keep it real. We got to keep it real.
Yeah, I keep it real. We should have beat Milwaukee last year. We would have advanced to the second round
of
the playoffs if we had made the playoffs last year, DJ. You know that, right? I don't care about the ifs.
I don't care about the ifs.
We beat them last year. Look at the series.
I do think that there's a sensing process that has to take place with a young team. You rarely see a young team jump into the playoffs as the second seed or the third seed. They usually do, you know, come in as a lower seed their first year. You know, maybe they upset somebody, maybe they don't, but, you know, it's usually a learning process you have to go through in the playoffs as a young team. But with that being said, I think part of the reason why you're not seeing as much hype about this draft, there's a couple reasons. For one, this coronavirus changed a lot with the NBA draft process, and then we had no NCAA tournament to really, you know, get a feel for which one of these players is big time in clutch moments. For two, this draft as a whole is just not extremely deep. There are a lot of players in this draft that project to be role players and very few players that project to be star players. Now, when it comes to Anthony Edwards, I'm an Anthony Edwards fan. I am a UGA fan, so I've watched Edwards most than most people, more than most people have. I do think Edwards has star potential. I do think he's in a similar situation to Trae Young, to where he played on a college team with zero other NBA players. He played where, even as a freshman, the defenses in the SEC, their object was to stop Edwards when they played UGA. They weren't worried about anybody else because there was nobody else worth worrying about. But with that being said, as much as I love Edwards, I don't want to trade all of the farm that we have for him. I personally don't want to pay John Collins yet because I think John Collins needs to show he can play 70 games, but I also don't want to just get rid of a guy that's out there showing he can do 20 and 10 on 40% three-point shooting and finish at the rim. Now, Kevin Herter, I'll move. Picks, I'll move to get up. You know, I would even consider, and I'm not the biggest DeAndre Hunter guy as most people. So, you know, I'd even consider a DeAndre Hunter deal, particularly if we got back Jared Culver, too, as some has, you know, was suggested to move up to number one. But I'm not trying to trade Collins. I'm not trying to trade Trey. I'm not trying to trade Cam. And I'm not trying to give up too many young players for one person because the goal is to build. And my final point is this. The veterans on the Atlanta Hawks team sucked last year. They were awful. Y'all know in New Pack City, the nickname for Turner and Parsons was the Trash Brothers. You know what I mean? And so if we just have decent veterans around our young core with the
Travis
dynamic young
that mistake
coming
at the end of the season, too.
Right, but if we have decent veterans that replace all of those guys that are now gone, guys that can contribute, you know, let's add one impact player in the draft at least, and you know, and see what we can do in the trade market. But just having a bunch of better veteran role players makes us an automatic better team than we were because we got nothing from those guys last year. They were awful. And you know, the other thing is we do have to make sure we have a consistent backup point guard because we cannot be in a situation where we can't function without Trey on the floor. I'll let it back, turn it back to you guys for your thoughts.
And here's the deal. I'm sorry, can I cut in? Or?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I don't want to disrespect the show.
No,
okay, I got two things. I got two things. Look, Josh Smith was saying the same exact thing as John Collins. I want a max contract. We let Josh Smith go, and he got a big contract from Detroit. He did not live up to that big contract. What did we get in exchange for Jay Smoove? Absolutely nothing. You got Al Horford. Al Horford, he said he wanted to sign, but he backed out. And what did we get? We got nothing for Al Horford. What did we get for Paul Millsap? What did we get for Paul Millsap? Absolutely nothing. Here, and this is what I'm saying. John Collins, yes, he's a great player. He's awesome player. 2010.
Okay. Who do you replace him with if you don't have John
Collins? Hold on. Get what I'm saying. Are we going to re-sign him? What are our chances? He wants a max contract. Do we want to give him a max contract? If the answer is no, then trade him. If the answer is yes, then sign him. That's all I'm saying. We just can't afford to go down that road of losing John Collins and getting nothing in return.
Oh, I agree
that's
with
what
that.
I'm saying.
That's why I'm always on the blog saying
trade him, because the Hawks have not expressed their interest of making him a max contract player. I don't think he's a max contract player. You just can't do it. So I say get what you can for him now, because right now is the time to trade him, because if he comes up and just plays, what, 30-some games, you can't play.
How many games has John Collins played?
This is the second or third year?
He hasn't even played the full season yet. But to really put that like that on
him, and to make him a max player, no. I don't know.
Because the thing of it is, one, he don't have signs of regression like some of those other players that you've mentioned. Two, the suspension is one thing. The injury is one thing. But he doesn't have an injury history. The suspension was he got caught with some whatever it was or whatever what it was. That's not going to be a regular thing either. His upside is way higher than the other two people who matched his numbers last year, and they have max contracts. And those players aren't better than John Collins, but they got their money. And there's a lot of players in the NBA who have maximum size deals who are not nowhere near playing up to the numbers that they need to make it worthwhile. But it's the NBA. People will pay you what they think the value is. You see what I'm saying? So this is the element that you guys are missing right here.
John Collins is just after his rookie contract. Those other guys you mentioned, DJ, they were all after the going to their third contract. And so they were unrestricted free agents. John Collins is a restricted free agent. He cannot walk. He can't walk. So the fact of the matter is, if we don't feel like he's worth max, you know, I don't think we should pay him now. We need to make him earn it. Let's see if he can play 70-plus games and put up the same numbers or better numbers than last year. But like Chris said, he has gotten better every year. But let's say if we don't think that he's worth max, then fine. We tell him, go out and get you an offer sheet from another team. And we'll decide if we want to match it or not. Yeah. And even if it's max from another team, I mean, it'll be up to us, but there's no reason for us to lose. Why wouldn't we though? Because you match that contract, and if that guy is not happy there, then you trade him down the road so you get something in return. You do not let a player like that, a 20-10 guy walk like that, that's young like that, and the Hawks won't do that. If you remember, years ago, Jeff Teague tried to leave, and he signed a 4-year offer sheet with Milwaukee. Danny Ferry matched it, and then Teague ended up getting traded by Coach Bud for the 12th pick, which turned into Taurean Prince. Fact of the matter is, though, they did not let Teague walk for nothing. You don't let a good restricted free agent walk when you can just match it.
Millsap walked.
He wasn't restricted. He was unrestricted. Horford walked. That's a whole different thing.
We didn't need Horford. Horford was never going to be better than 12 points a games, six rebounds a game. If John Collins was going to be unrestricted, then
I would say we would be forced to either pay him or trade him. Right now, he's not going to be unrestricted. He'll be restricted, so it's a different scenario than Horford or Millsap or Josh Smith. Totally different scenario.
Here's what I'm saying. Let me bring up another point. Okay, when you're talking about making the playoffs next year, I can count off the playoff teams. You got Boston, Brooklyn, Philly, Toronto, Indiana,
sure about Philly?
Milwaukee, Miami. Those seven are set. Then you have Washington. John Wall is coming back. You got Orlando, pretty much the same team as us. They're a little bit better. Charlotte,
all we got, and then you can then you got Chicago. They're basically the same team in Detroit.
Okay, first of all,
which
got,
I mean, come on, you're fighting for an eighth seed. And if John Collins can play a whole season and he can guide us to a 4 or 5 seed, okay, then pay him a max contract. But if he plays and we can't even scratch 9, we can't. Then you just why are you paying them? Why are you paying you're paying a max contract?
No,
you're paying the guy a max
trainer.
Contract for 20 wins. Come on.
Well, first of all,
if we have another 20 win season,
Let me say something real quick. First of all, we didn't get to finish our season last year for one. Number two, we still have not seen anything defensively from a supposed defensive coach. If we had just played defense in 10 games, the whole thing that we're talking about right now would be completely different because scoring was not the reason we lost games last year. We couldn't stop nobody. We start stopping people.
The city of
we win a lot of games, okay? The other part of this is just the matter of hope. And
Hold on now.
I'm always going to be positive because that's the person I am because I am a Hawks fan. It's not about being blind or leading a blind or anything like that. That's how you're supposed to be as a fan base. You're supposed to want the team to be successful. You're not supposed to just say they're going to just win 20 games or whatnot. I've always been the proponent that, one, if it wasn't for all those injuries and trades first year, we wouldn't make the playoffs. Year two, we should have made the playoffs last year anyway. But guess what? Look at all those coaching decisions that unfortunately did not work out and some of those moves that Jordan alluded to at the beginning of the season. We didn't know Alex was going to ghost out like he did. And the Trash Brothers, that was just diabolical. But at the end of the day, Travis made up for it at the end of the season. And we'll see what happens this season when everybody hopefully is going to be healthy. You see what I'm saying? So if worst-case scenario happens, then that's a whole different story. But let's look at best-case scenario where you have a healthy Clint Capela because now he's healthy. He's had a whole offseason to completely recover and all that kind of good stuff and everything and everything. And we're actually going to have a squad that's actually going to play together game after game after game consistently and actually have somebody coming off the bench to help the guys out, like a Jeff Teague, who can actually – continue the continuity of the game instead of as soon as Trey steps off the floor, they're down by 30. So that's all we saw last year. Now, if those things do happen, and again, everything's an if. There's no guarantee to anything. There never will be a guarantee in anything. We have a way better upside than most teams. And those teams that are above us at the end of the season, the Eastern Conference, those teams were not better than us. They just weren't. Those 6-7 teams that were above us going to the 8th seed, those teams weren't better than the Hawks. They're just not. If we ever get a doggone defensive philosophy in here that either people are made accountable or that it's actually being taught, we're going to win a lot of games because, again, scoring was not the reason we lost last year. It was that we never stopped anybody, and it didn't look like it was important that we didn't stop anybody. And that was my concern last year for the last 2 years, actually. Because we're wasting Trey's career right now, as far as I'm concerned, and everybody else that we got coming in here young. I want to have the respect to say, well, the reason he got hired as a coach is because he had this great reputation. All these players are saying all these cool things, but game after game after game, and Travis Fink finally called him out on the Memphis game, and then we played Memphis again, and we got blown out again. Right there, that's a concern to me. And I've been saying this for weeks now, and months, actually, and years, okay? So at a certain point, if we could ever get that straightened out, and again, Nate McMillan coming in here, guess what? A lot of
that's the deal.
Going to get fixed right off the bat. Okay, so we have a lot to look forward to this coming season. Now, whether or not we're going to do some crazy trades or whatever, just to kind of keep up with the Joneses or whatever, okay, or whether or not we're going to do something crazy with the draft, we got to see and see what happens. But again, look at our draft history before Travis Fink. Okay, and look, and post Travis Fink, I say let's see what he does because we have somebody who knows what he's doing, and he's been making great decisions over a period of time. And again, the five things that makes your franchise successful: you have an owner who wants to win and does what's necessary to win. You have management that makes wise decisions over a period of time. You have a good to great coach. You have good to great players, and you're healthy. We haven't been healthy. We haven't had a good to great coach yet. But we do got good to great players. We do have management. We do have an ownership. We'll find out about the coaching this year, right? And we're going to find out if they're healthy this year. Because if those two things happen, sky's the limit.
Man, let me say this here, man. Are you familiar with the rapper from Atlanta named Rocco?
Yeah.
He had a mixtape called The Gift of Gab. And right then, and just 5 minutes, you had the gift of gab trying to sell us on the Atlanta Hawks.
Hey,
come
you
on,
either
man.
Be sold or not.
Come
sold
on, man.
Say,
the
I
gift of
I
gab.
I can't help you on that now.
One of the best mixtapes Rocco had. The gift of gab. You had a lot of ifs and a lot of excuses. Don't nobody want to hear the ifs. Don't nobody want to hear
no
the excuses.
I didn't throw one excuse out there, DJ. I said we're not
Hawks,
playing
no
defense.
No ifs. Every team deals with injuries. Every team deals with injuries.
I said that.
The Brooklyn Nets.
They didn't have KD or Kyrie.
They made the playoffs. So
what's our excuse?
We didn't have John Collins. Okay, whatever. We should have made the playoffs.
I believe it when I see it. I'm not for the gift of gab.
I am not for selling the Hawks. If they going to make the playoffs, make it. And let's be quiet.
DJ, you're just
make
you're
the
just,
playoffs.
You're not going to subscribe to that. Some teams are able to overcome injuries because they have depth. And it goes back to what I was talking about. Our depth sucks. And so, we can't be looking past role players because we actually need some good role players. You mentioned Joe Harris, whether it's Joe Harris, Buddy Hield, we got to bring somebody in here that can shoot this basketball. The Hawks
were
28th in the NBA
last year.
And here's the deal.
On
the blog, I kept bringing up the fact that we shooting way too many threes. If you one of the last ranked teams in the NBA in shooting a three, then why are you shooting it?
That's coaching too.
Who would you blame for that strategy, DJ?
The coach and the
well, there you
team.
Go.
Exactly. And so I'm hoping that Nate McMillan is going to help things by having a veteran coaching presence, because DJ, you just named seven teams that are locked for the playoffs. I don't agree with Indiana, depending on what happens with Oladipo and what they do. I don't know that they're necessarily locked.
Okay.
But
I think most of those teams
probably will make the playoffs. But out of all those teams, with the exception of a healthy Brooklyn, how many of those teams really, really scare you? The difference in some of those teams that
are definitely not.
Toronto don't even have that great of a personnel, and look how far they went, because they're well coached.
They better than us. They better than Hall.
They're more experienced, but they're not that much better. But what they are better is their coach. They're better coached. That's what we're gonna have to see.
Coach
Stoll
has been coaching like that for years with whoever is on that team. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he had a strong in Wade, but what happened when they left? He's still winning games too. So at a certain point, that comes into play, and we
right.
He
can
that. Coach. And again,
yeah,
old boy came in here with a reputation. If it wasn't for that, it'd be different. But he came in, and again, he's a first time head coach, but he's been coaching for a long time, and I like Coach Lloyd. But my thing has been, either he ain't teaching it or they ain't listening. Either way, that's not a good thing. Because all we saw on the floor is how many times we were down 40 points in the first doggone quarter, okay? How many times situation-wise did you pull out Trae Young for whatever reason, and we ended up losing the game because your best player is not on the floor. You see what I'm saying? And then on the offensive side, we never had an offense. They were just out there playing. But there was no singular philosophy to say this is what we need to do. And again, me and Jordan were at the Dallas game where all of a sudden they threw it down in the post to John Collins. They double teamed him. He kicked it out the tray, wide open three, he hits it. And I'm like, oh my God, they're gonna do it. They didn't do that the rest of the game. You see what I'm saying? That's the consistency that we have not seen.
Right. We saw a zone. We also saw a zone defense in that game. And they came back and won that game playing zone defense, and we didn't see zone for another 2 weeks.
I don't understand what goes on with the coaching.
But the fact of the matter is, if Pierce is going to coach like he's going to coach, then we got to bring in better shooters. If he's intent on shooting a bunch of threes, then we got to bring in better shooters. Now, that's still a problem for me because I agree with you, DJ. A good coach should be able to adjust to his personnel. And if we ain't got the horses to be shooting all the threes, stop shooting all the threes. But if that's how he's intent on playing, we've got to bring in better shooters. So that's one thing. We got to get better shooters. I'd like to see another impact player, but my thing is I don't want to jump the gun and just trade guys and bring in guys like DeMar DeRozan and these type guys who I really don't feel like is the long-term answer for us. This year, the thing of the matter is let's make the best moves we can make without destroying totally our core. Let's get good veterans in here. Let's see if we can get the 7th seed, 8th seed, put somebody out in the first round or at least give a hard go. Because that way, I think that will allow free agents to at least look at us. And I know people say, oh, the Hawks ain't going to never sign nobody. Maybe not. But I know that this is a different organization than it was before. We got better owner. We got new facilities, new everything. So let's see if we can sign somebody in 2021. If we can sign somebody in 2021, then what you do is that's when you look to do an all-in trade. Because that's when you're still going to have cap space. And that's when you look to put your assets together and acquire another star to go with Trae Young. And whether that includes John Collins leaving at that point or whether that includes acquiring a star to play with him in trade, depends on what happens next season. But that's the year I'm looking at us being true contenders. It's not next season, but the season after next. I'm looking at us being a playoff next season, and I'm looking at us being true contenders the season after next, looking at it from a realistic perspective on, you know, taking steps.
Just like I said, man, the gift of gab. Look,
DJ,
here, man.
Here's my
worst fear
for this
season, and this is the reason why I say we need to make some changes. My worst fear is we come out the gate and we just run in the same plays. Hunter and Cam Reddish just run into the corner, and then Trae Young just dribbling the ball, shooting threes, trying to create. Only one creator on the team. That's my worst fear. And 9 times out of 10, it's probably going to be the same crap that we've seen last season.
Who do you think they're looking at the number 6 pick in the draft?
Do you not think that they
might not be looking at somebody like Denny or Coro or Halliburton or Hayes, somebody who also has the ability to create? Because I agree, we do need another creator.
Why doesn't it matter,
man? I'm just saying, because it's still gonna be the same thing.
If it's the same thing, then Lloyd Pierce got to go. That's the first step. If it's the same thing to begin in the next year, Lloyd Pierce got to go. That's the first step.
Look, here's what I'm saying. At number 6, you're not going to get that 2 guard that is going, or that point guard that is going to create off the dribble and draw fouls.
What about?
Like
we got
need.
Five. What are you talking about?
We got
Trae Young.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, the best players not always number 1, 2, or 3.
Pierce was like the
8th pick. Kobe Bryant was the 11th or 13th pick. Like, you can find a good player at number 6, man. You can find a good player at number 6.
We need Anthony Edwards at all costs. And I hear people saying, "Oh, I don't want to mess up a court." Look here, man. A court, 20 wins.
How many?
That's not really fair.
We made the playoffs.
We're rebuilding now.
So you want to be like the Philadelphia 76ers and not make the playoffs for 10 years?
And that's the gift of gab. And that's what I'm saying. The gift of gab is y'all trying to hold on to this 25, 30
wins. Do you
want to
be like the Philadelphia 76ers for 10 years?
Set a crap down and make some
changes. What were you expecting out of Cab and DeAndre Hunter?
Kevin Herter and DeAndre Hunter. Shooting, just jacking up threes and not even trying to drive the basket, not even trying to get to the line. You look at this stat. This is an amazing stat of Kevin Herter. 52 or 53 times he went to the line all year. And that's the problem. And that's the problem. He's not taking the ball to the basket. He's just sitting around jacking up threes, and the coach is telling them to do it. We need Anthony Edwards. We need somebody slashing, getting
to
the
it.
Basket, putting pressure on the defense.
Is. Guess what? The players can only play if they're in the lineup. And if they're in the lineup, they're only able to do what the coaches either say or allow to have happen. And if you don't have control over your team, that's a problem. You see what I'm saying? That's what we've been saying this whole time. That is a big, 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 big issue. Because talent aside, you got to be able to ball that talent up to make it productive. And the best coaches of all time knows how to put the players in the best positions to succeed, whether it be high level, low level, mid level, or whatever. They put them in the best positions. And when they're not doing what they're supposed to, you know what they do? They take them out of the game. And unfortunately, we have not had that discipline. And eventually, if we ever get that, and again, Nate McMillan's going to help out with that a little bit, we're going to see a complete turnaround right off the bat. Plus, too, again, just like Jordan said, the players were not – they didn't get to finish a whole season. These guys were getting
get
better. People want to get rid of Cam in December.
Yeah,
and
but, you know, you can say that in January, but the fact of the matter is – right, and the fact of the matter is we saw improvement on those guys just within last season, so – it's a little early to me to cut bait on Cam or DeAndre Hunter, even though I'm not the biggest DeAndre guy. Now, I haven't seen enough consistency out of him, and he's already been around for a couple of years. If they want to move him, I'm fine with that. Besides Edwards, DJ, who else would you like to see the team bring in here? Who else? What type of players do you see? And do you think Edwards guarantees us a hot playoff team next year?
I'm saying this. Edwards has the superstar potential.
I agree with that.
And everybody else is just role players. That's all I'm saying.
But you don't
see no star potential in Cam. Sometimes
you don't see no star potential in Hunter.
No.
None of those. Yeah.
No.
I see it in Cam. It's the reason why Lloyd calls Cam MFing Cam Reddish, because he sees it too. In fact, Edwards says the hardest player he had to go against was Cam. Edwards said that himself.
Look, Ja Morant was the rookie of the year. You see it in him. You saw. Is there a difference between Ja Morant and Cam Reddish? What you saw last year?
I mean, a big difference. Ja Morant has the ball in his hands every play.
You get real comfortable when you're starting. You're playing 35 minutes a night instead of 18. DJ,
Hunter had the most minutes of all rookies.
Hunter played a lot more. Cam didn't start anyway. DJ, I want to appreciate you coming in. This was actually a test show, so
yeah.
I do appreciate you coming in on a test show night to get in here. Hopefully you'll come in a lot more as we get regular again. COVID-19 has stopped me and Jordan from being able to be regular over the last couple of months, but we're looking to get things going again. So definitely appreciate you calling in. You got show info now, so definitely get in when you get in, okay?
But can I leave the show with one more word?
Yeah, go ahead.
One more word. I mean, three words. The gift of gab. Man, y'all got to quit making excuses for the Hawks. Y'all got to quit making excuses for the Hawks and demand change.
If you listen to the show, you know we are very hard on our players. You know anybody that knows me knows that I'm a realist. DJ, you've not listened to our show because you've definitely not listened.
Y'all need to be hard on the players.
2 years. You haven't seen any of my videos and you haven't seen any of my posts. I have whole articles about it. So I'm a disagree
with you on that. I'll snap on anybody except Trae Young. Y'all don't want to play. Then find somebody else that will.
Like I said, if you want to listen to that show that night, DeAndre Bembry decided to take over and go to the hole and be the hero. We criticize players, but I try to be realistic about things, and I understand that guys, everybody is not Ja Morant in year one. You know what I mean? Some people are Steve Nash in year one. Some people are Kobe Bryant in year one, and only average 7 points a game.
And you can
check,
Now you can check my post on the New Pack City. I was saying last year, do whatever it takes to get Ja Morant. I'd rather see Trae Young and Ja Morant versus Trae Young and Kevin Herter.
Yeah, but like I said,
you gotta get the stars, man. Do whatever it takes.
Right.
I'm on a time limit here. I gotta get out of here, but definitely call it again, man.
I'll holler at y'all.
Yeah, appreciate the call, man. Good conversation,
brother.
All right. I'm gonna go ahead and give Mr. DJ Nashville a round of applause.
Good spirited discussion there.
And that's what it's about as far as on around the ATL, because again, at the end of the day, you're going to be a passionate fan of some sort, one way or the other, wherever the side of the fence that you're on, to be able to, you know, give yourself a chance to explain. Now, in this case, this was a test. So tonight was a little bit different because I'm trying to still, you know, run out the volume and checking other things and sound effects and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you get a chance to actually speak your mind, speak your piece, speak what you have, you know, going in regards to your thoughts about the team and whatnot, because I don't ever cut nobody off, as everybody can see. They never get cut off. 646-652-4479. I think we're good on the test. Plus, I keep getting emails that I kind of need to start answering in the middle of the night. But at the end of the day, we're definitely going to try to do a draft show. Again, this period of time is always interesting. Each year is different this year, like Jordan alluded to, with the pandemic and everything. We didn't have a tournament. Any of these guys,
this year, I have the least feel for who's what. I mean, I have a good feel for a lot of the prospects. You know, like normally I have it narrowed down because I want this one particular guy for the Hawks. And I'm having a hard time doing it this year, sir, just because we just have not had the same level of evaluation with these prospects. Plus the fact that we're at number six and it's a lot of guys in that range, I feel can help the team. So, you know, we'll see what happens, and hopefully we get a chance to preview this thing before the draft. If not, we'll definitely break it down afterwards. For sure.
Workout videos only go so far, you know, those they can be kind of tricky.
Right.
You know, people throwing around 500 pounds and, you know, windmill dunking and everything. And all of a sudden, you know, it could be real bad. But to DJ's point, making excuses, that's not what we've ever done on around the ATL, is make excuses for anything. And again, if you've ever actually listened to two years plus of around the ATL now, you know, we're sometimes hypercritical. You know, in regards to any of the teams in Atlanta, whether it be the Falcons, Braves, anybody, all you got to do is listen to the show, okay? And and talking on a positive end to say, hey, you need to give these players their third year to find out what they can and can't do, just like all the other franchises have done. You see what I'm saying? That's not making excuses. That's wanting to see the guys succeed because they were drafted here. You want to give everybody – there are so many former Hawks in the NBA, it's ridiculous. You know, you want to just give, you know, just give people – that's, I mean, that's proverbially what you're doing when you don't allow these guys to grow and actually develop into whatever they're going to become. And we actually have them here. We have the one of the youngest cores in the NBA. And to just toss it aside to say, okay, well, Edwards, oh, he's going to be the next LeBron James? I don't think so. He's cool and everything, but again, you're going to bring him
I
in.
I like Edwards, but I certainly don't feel like the guarantee like a LeBron or something at the top of the draft. If that was the case, you wouldn't be able to even trade for him. If he was LeBron, you know what I mean? If he came in with the guarantee of a LeBron, you wouldn't even be able to get a guy like that in a trade because, you know, that type of prospect. When the team wins the draft lottery on lottery night, they hold up a jersey. They already made for that player. You know what I mean? But I do think Edwards had a strong potential. But, you know, I'd like to get Edwards if we could get rid of, you know, Herder and our pick and a couple other picks and maybe throw in
the
one other piece.
The thing is about filling a need. And, again, for us, it's been center longer than anything else. You know what I'm saying? And even though you got Clint. Clint is still a little bit of a question mark. I say that. You see what I'm saying? So,
I tell you what, though. Trey Young's dad had a tweet. And in that tweet, Trey Young's dad just talked about, like, how much Trey raved about Capella, you know, when the Hawks had that little practice bubble or whatever. And according to Trey, like, Trey has never played with a big man that's even like Capella. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm excited to see what they could do. I do think that, you know, he should be a solid center for us, but, I mean, we could use another center, but we're in a weird position, Chris. Well, we pretty much have everything as far
well,
as
I mean, I know that, but I'm trying to play into, you know, doing whatever, but, again, it's one of those deals where you don't – this is where context comes in. We made the playoffs for those years, right? And then we decided we got to rebuild because this group isn't going to do it. Again, Al Horford couldn't stop Tristan Thompson 2 years in a row, okay? T-Tom was only halftime. That's not making excuses. That's saying they don't need to be here anymore. If anybody has listened to me over the years, especially on my posts, it's time for them to go because this is not working. They're not going to do it. They can't do it, whatever, right? So now here it is. We're going to have a little bit of a lull because you are literally – reforming the whole franchise from scratch. Guess what? You have players who are growing into their roles. Some players are not as good as others. Some players are brand new to everything. So there's going to be some growing pains. And that's what happens when you rebuild. Golden State Warriors went through it. Chicago Bulls went through it. A whole bunch of franchises went through it. But what they did do is that when those players got good, they kept them together for as long as they could. Golden State Warriors is one of the best examples of that because now those guys are in their 30s now and they've still got that same 1-2-3 group, okay? So why wouldn't we want to see the same thing here as Atlanta fans to say, we have this nice little core here. Let's see how long they can stay together. The money ain't ours. It's wrestlers. So if wrestlers are willing to make it happen, let him make it doggone happen. You see what I'm saying? Because we deserve that just as much as any other franchise, if not more. Because why? We traded Dominique Wilkins. Doggone it. We still haven't been able to live that one down, right? So at a certain point, and guess what? There's other players in the league who still look at us weird just because we did that, much less all the other stupid stuff we've done as a franchise, crazy picks and all kinds of other moves that we've made. At a certain point, we have to have some kind of stability. We have a superstar in Trae Young. He started the All-Star game. A lot of people keep forgetting that for some reason, right? And we have a dynamic player in John Collins who can do all the things that he can do. And we got these young players that are about to go into their second season. Cam out there with Steph Curry. Don't you think he's going to get a little bit better? He was already getting better, but now he's going to be even better? You see what I'm saying? All we've got to be able to do is put in those, plug those holes. We were last in three-point shooter. We're trying to get a three-point shooter. Isn't that important? You know,
we got to have
Deadman, Scal. you know, we have a better bench than we started off the year with. They just didn't get a chance to play. We didn't get a chance to see it. And I think that's what's screwing up everybody is we didn't get the chance to see that group together. It was that opportunity was basically taken away because we started off so horrible. You see what I'm saying? It's not making excuses. It's being literal about it. You see what I'm saying? And there's a big difference in that. And I just want everybody who's watching on New Pack City, thanks for watching. And anybody who does listen to this test, because I'll probably keep this test up, to understand where we come from on this show. We speak with knowledge. We speak with facts. You see what I'm saying?
Hey, Chris.
And we speak as fans. Go ahead.
Real quick, just see something come across my phone here. Milwaukee Bucks acquired Jrue Holiday from the Pelicans for George Hill, Eric Bledsoe, and 3 first-round draft picks.
Three. That's what we were supposed to do, though. Give up three.
See, that's their last ditch attempt to keep Giannis happy by bringing in a much, you know, an upgrade. But it cost them a lot of picks to do it. Now, obviously, as long as they're winning, their picks aren't as valuable, but still a lot of picks. And so, and like I said, a lot of people, you know, I try to be realistic, but at the same time, people can say this is not realistic. I don't want to spend up all of our money before we talk to Giannis when he's a free agent. I'm sorry. I think that it's a chance he'll leave Milwaukee, and I would like to see the Hawks be in on that. You know what I mean? At least be in a meeting to have a chance to get him. And so, you know, here we're seeing that's their last stand. If this don't work out, he's up out of there, Chris. He's going to
leave. Yeah.
So as far as the Hawks, though, man, I think we're in a weird position to where we have a good player at, like, every position, but we still need to upgrade our team overall. I think we're in a unique position where we can draft the best player available that's not a point guard. And even if he is a point guard, as long as he can play shooting guard too. You know what I mean? Because a couple of point guards in this draft that can play shooting guard that are big point guards, they fit as well. So as far as, you know, draft and free agency goes, we just need two things more than anything else. Well, three, really. We need another creator. But mainly we need shooting and defense. And they could be that could come from the power forward position off the bench. It could come from the point guard position off the bench. It could come from a wing position. It don't matter where it comes from. We just need defense and shooting. And if we improve those things significantly, I don't see no reason why we shouldn't be a playoff team. I really don't see, you know, why we couldn't put somebody out in the first round when we get
some people just don't want us. Some people just don't want to see us in the playoffs, whatever reason. I think that's just a shame, really. At the end of the day, is that you just don't want to see the team succeed. And again, that mentality puts you in, you want to be the Charlotte Hornets for the next 10 years. You want to be Sacramento Kings for the next 10 years. You want to be the Philadelphia 76ers, who still haven't won a championship. They barely got two. They only got two players left from all those first-round draft picks, top one, two, three picks. They got two players left from the last decade of doing that, and they ain't won nothing yet. You see what I'm saying?
For me,
I'm not really trying to look at that for the next 10 years. We have 3 or 4 years of being down, okay? But look at what we are developing, and that's where you should be looking at. Because otherwise, you've just given up, and you just don't care. Again, context matters. If you've seen what happened and seen where we're going from and trying to get to where other teams have been, you should be hopeful and very excited. Otherwise, you're just looking at it from the standpoint of, oh, well, we need to do something desperate, basically, to maybe hopefully work out where, again, that doesn't work out in the NBA. You see what I'm saying? And again, even if Harden was to go to Brooklyn, that's not no guarantee that they're going to win the championship. Nothing is guaranteed. You see what I'm saying?
No, they're going to be tough, though. It'd be tough. I mean, even without Harden, to be honest with you, Brooklyn is going to be a good team without Harden. And they're going to be the favorites to come out the East because the one thing that they showed they had, and DJ talked about the fact that they made the playoffs without KD and Kyrie, is because they had depth. It's because they had a Spencer Dinwiddie who's capable of putting in 20 points a game and getting 6 assists. They had Caris LeVert.
you know, who was another guy who could get you 20 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. You know what I mean? And so, you know, they have Jared Allen and DeAndre Jordan. They got depth. And so, like I said, a lot of people will be surprised at how much better the Hawks will be just off of adding quality depth alone. I'm telling you. A lot of people will be surprised if we're able to add, you know, key-type veterans like that, along with a good player at number six, how much better the Hawks will really be. Because, like I said, when you got replacements that aren't even NBA-worthy, then it's a problem when your starters sit out. Especially when your starters are already young in a lot of ways. You know what I mean? So,
step off the court, down by 30. Step off the court, down by 30. So, you know, and we had to experience that in real time, and it was very discouraging, but that's what we had at the time. And, again, you didn't have anything to fight the non-production because, again, a lot of that was accountability, and you could just see it. Now, again, Travis made up for it by getting this player, getting that player, blah, blah, blah. But it was like too little too late. And then again, we didn't get to see these guys together, the new guys, because we didn't get to go in the bubble like Phoenix Suns did. Even though, oh, wait, Phoenix Suns went undefeated, but it didn't matter. You see what I'm saying? It did matter because you got to see this. You got to see those Phoenix Suns fans were hyped. I'm sure, you know, again, it's a matter of do you really want to support the team or not? At a certain point, you got to make that decision. Because if everything is always going to be doom and gloom, the only thing that you're going to watch every year are the NBA Finals because everything else in the middle doesn't matter. And you can't really be a fan like that because, again, once they do win that championship, you're not going to feel the same way as the rest of us who went through year after year after year after year. John Concat, Chris Lauderdale, Chris Crawford, Speedy Claxton, who are probably still paying under the table, on and on and on and on, right? If you refuse to look at it from that aspect, nothing else really does matter at the end of the day. So, that being said, Jordan, you got anything else? Because we're about to close this out, buddy.
Yeah, man, I just enjoyed, you know, being able to talk some sports, man. It's been a while. A lot of crazy things going on in life, man. Hope everybody is out there, you know, safe and, you know, just, you know, living life, man, you know, despite all of the difficulties, man. Looking forward to, you know, everything in store with all of our teams, particularly this Hawks draft right now, with what's going on, and also Braves free agency because they, you know, they're a team that's on the cusp of the title, and the right moves will take them all the way. So, yeah, man, just looking forward to it, and like I said, happy to be back in the saddle and looking forward to doing some shows now that this test has worked out. And so, you know, my thing is, I try to be realistic, but I'm also optimistic in a lot of ways. There's no reason to be optimistic. When there's no reason to be optimistic, trust and believe, I won't be optimistic. Chris, you remember when I first met you, we had conversations about the Hawks. Because I think you wore a Hawks jersey, a T-shirt, with your name on the back of it, actually, to work. And I was like, oh, I know who you are. We're in the same Facebook group. You're a Hawks fan. And that was one of the things we were talking about when we first met was moving on from that other group. You know what I mean? And was it time? And I think when they made the trade, we kind of said, well, let's see how this works out. Because if this doesn't work, we got to tear it down. And so, you know, we advocated for that. Even though you had many fans that wanted to keep holding on to the same players and keep, you know, making the playoffs but not ever progressing. And so, you know, it's just, I think what you get around the ATL, ladies and gentlemen,
out there listening, you get, you know, genuine realness. We're going to tell you how we feel about the situation. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of reason to be positive right now. But if things don't go right, then changes will have to be made. And it's really as simple as that.
There you go. Well, guys, be looking out for an announcement whether or not we do a draft show either prior to the draft or after the draft, post-draft. We're going to try to do one or the other for sure. I'll figure out that in the near future. Please follow, if you watch this on the New Pack City page live, appreciate watching. Follow the Instagram page, IMTM Worldwide Radio, also Facebook, IMTM Worldwide Radio. And you can also listen to past shows on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, Google Play Music, TuneIn, radio.com, on and on and on. You can pull it up on Alexa even, around the ATL. That's all you got to do. Definitely tune in. We have a great show. We have great programming. I'm definitely going to post the John Collins interview probably early tomorrow morning, or this morning now, I guess. So that way you can listen for yourself. Make your own determinations by one of the starters on your team talking about your team, your city. Because one of the biggest things about Atlanta is that nobody wants to be here. That's what all y'all say. And then when we have people who want to be here, you don't want them. Strange, isn't it? But anyway, that being said, that's going to be around the ATL for tonight. We're going to get out of here. Y'all take care, and we'll be back real soon. We'll be right back.